Alright, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast on Sunday night, 23rd of October 2022. Researcher Jay Wilderness is plugging in with me tonight for a chat. We, like a lot of my guests, plug in once a month to cover all my guests' work and talk about all the latest that we're seeing around us every single moment of the day. There's always plenty to discuss, I tell you. And Jay has some great channels up, especially on YouTube. We're going to discuss that tonight and all the great videos and work that he is doing. And there's some new videos to discuss as well. And as always, I put all Jay's details into the podcast description, where you can find all Jay's channels all over the place. It's not just YouTube. There's lots of other channels and places that you can connect and help out and shout Jay a cup of coffee, these things, and we'll put all that in and mention it before we plug out tonight. But time flying. Sunday night, 23rd of October already. We're nearly at Christmas. And we are powering into 2023. I keep saying this just for folks. It's really incredible, so buckle up. It's going to be unbelievable times, and we just keep moving forward, and you are listening to Real Independent Media. Here I am in Sydney, Australia. Jay's coming to me from the UK. It's great to have Jay on board with me tonight. Everything's up on the website, krazfiles.com. Enjoy. Contact me through the website. Enjoy all the stuff going up. Our social media links are all up on there, to Telegram and BitChute and Brighton and these. And thanks to the Kraz members as well. I've got a small members community that just helps me to continue here and keep that big website up and running. It's sucking a lot of power. So hosting costs and things are a lot, and I've spent another 100 or so US dollars recently just getting things right. A couple of little things, and but all working fine. And you can support me for $5 Australian over there on the website. A cup of coffee, really. And there's a great members area as well in there, with a chat room and all sorts of stuff. And when I'm not on with guests, I'm doing the Night Watch podcast with Adam for my members. And that's where I sit down here in the night and plug over all the latest news and views and bits and pieces and things going up, and what people are emailing me, and just things I find interesting online. And I want to break it down myself and offer my two cents. It's just my own personal shows. And that's kind of going back to my roots, where I started around 2013 or so, just sort of doing podcasts. I was originally doing it with my dad, and then I was doing lots of podcasts just here, you know. And so it's kind of good to go back to that and do all those. And it allows me to sort of really cover all the latest news and go over things that I think are important and what's sort of sticking out to me. So krazfiles.com. As I was saying to Jay before, had a little bit of a change now. So podcasts usually get out there on the RSS feed, usually with around within 20 minutes, I would say, they go out there. And you can find them on my website as well. There's a player there, and they're in the new sliding window on the website. We've made that. Looks really nice. It's like a podcast area where everything goes into. And also you can subscribe on the website or through the, you know, iTunes or wherever you get them. There's so many. So enjoy the podcast. Let us know what you think. Keep commenting away. And we move forward here tonight. Jay, good to have you back on, plugging in for the month. How's everything on your end? And I would say, as this is opening up a little bit for us now, talk a little bit about your work, buddy. Sort of give us a reintroduction to your work and what you're doing at this present time with all your videos and everything. Just for new listeners who plug in and say, what's going on here? Let us know.
Sure, thanks for having me on again, Adam. Good to be with you from the UK. So it's been going for about a year and a half now. Totally kind of naturally fell into it, I guess. I've been an observer of the, truth community, for want of a better word, for quite some time. It was the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, that kind of gave me the surge, the energy to want to document a lot of the craziness that was going on. So most of the media is compilations of basically talking heads saying what they're saying. You know, it's called Good Morning Clown World is the series, which is a play on a UK lowest common denominator morning program called Good Morning Britain. So it's essentially a lot of compilations that are pieced together with the idea to kind of present to normies, again, for want of a better word, to kind of join the dots for people and show them what's happening. And the growth has been kind of good on it, and I get a lot of good feedback from people saying they've, you know, they've woken people up as a result of this content. So yeah, I try to get stuff out once a week, usually at least a couple a month. And yeah, here we are. It's been a crazy ride. And yeah, just keeping going with it.
Your channels have grown since even when we were first talking, though. You've definitely sort of more focused on YouTube, but you're definitely branched out a lot there. How are you finding the other outlets? Are they working pretty good?
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of channels, a lot of options, and opportunities have just sort of come along the way, like things like Rockfin, which is more of a new kind of platform run out of the US, which is kind of, they encourage paywalls and stuff like that, which I'm not really comfortable with, but it's a good alternative platform, for sure. Things like Odyssey, Rumble, I just stick stuff up everywhere, really, you know, just get it out to as many faces as possible. And yeah, they're all sort of slowly growing. Just hit 9,000 on YouTube the other day, which is, I guess, you could consider it as an achievement, especially in the age of censorship. But I think when I went into this, I was, you know, as an observer for quite a while, I kind of presumed that my approach to video making would actually be quite difficult to censor, because it's not me commenting, you know, I'm not commenting on the content, it's just sort of laying out there and piecing it together. So I think it's very hard to actually censor what I'm putting out there. So it's quite effective in that respect, I think. As well, I just signed up for Substack recently, which I think is a really good platform, actually. They don't seem to be censoring people, and it's kind of more of a media output blog type approach. I guess it's really good for independent journalists, because they can, you know, they can put new videos, they can do podcasts, they can do very well presented articles. So everything's going up there as well. So that's a good spot to see what I'm up to, for sure.
Give our listeners out there a bit of a deeper understanding of your videos and what you're doing here, because they're really unique, and they come at a time that we really needed this. Really, what you're doing, and with your new one, and we'll talk about that tonight, is you're documenting history. Like, you're documenting what has actually been done here and what they're doing, and you're putting it up, because there's no escape, because we know now with the whole COVID thing, they're trying to roll it all back and trying to act like nothing happened, you know. And so you're documenting stuff for people, and we've talked about this on the show. Like, we do podcasts, and we have our social media platforms, and we have websites and everything, and it just depends on what people like, and a lot of people like to watch video, and you're doing these kind of fast videos that have a lot of weight and punch behind them, and you're just showing what is really happening based on what the general mainstream media are showing us and what they've said and what's gone on, and you're putting it in this format for people to watch and see. And you know, these videos are really good to share with not just people like us who are awake and in the alternative media platform, but also with everyone, I think, because who are thinking maybe something's going wrong here, or what happened in the last 2 years. It's good to share these kinds of videos with people, because say, look, you know, it's a YouTube video, just watch this, it's 7 minutes or 10 minutes, just have a look, you know, and it could be enough to really jolt them or push them off that fence, huh? But talk about the mechanics behind your videos. Why, you know, like, because you make them quite short, but, you know, there's a lot of editing and work in those ones. What is the drive behind pushing you to do these types of videos? Because you're obviously, since we first started talking a few times, you said you're really going to start sort of taking it up a notch, which you have, And they've just got better and better and more popular every time I go on there on YouTube and stuff. There's just more and more views and more people following. And I think this is being shared around everywhere like hotcakes, because, you know, if you want to hand someone a PDF or a long DVD or something like that, it might be a bit much, but sort of getting someone to watch one of your clips is a powerful kind of 5 or 7 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like we've touched on it a lot in our own conversations, isn't it? Is that there's a ton of people in the middle who are kind of, they're teetering a little bit, especially now, you know, more so with every day, that these are the people that can come across to our way of thinking. You know, they just almost need something to trigger that. And I suppose that's the kind of inspiration for the videos, really, is that if you can sort of lay out something in front of them without telling them what to think, just kind of going, you know, you may be thinking this in the back of your mind, but here's something that could convince you that you're not mad for thinking it. You know, it's a bit like that. The case in point is probably the What's Going On series, which was to do with the collapsing athletes, you know, the collapsing sportsman phenomenon, which we can sort of readily assume is down to the medical solution that's been rolled out. But there's 8 volumes of that series now, which just literally shows media articles of this player died on the pitch, this guy, you know, collapsed, and interspersed video footage, but it's all sourced information, and it's just laid out with a very kind of, you know, punchy track behind it, and it just shows people the reality of what's going on there without any commentary saying this is because of this. It's just kind of laying it out. So the idea with not having commentary is, like I say, for people to look at stuff and come to their own conclusion. I would hope that most people with half an ounce of sense will probably come to the same conclusion that we have. So, you know, it's just a case of laying it out there. And I think there's almost, I've touched on it before, I guess, but the likes of Alex Jones just kind of screaming and banging on the table and telling everyone it's the globalist and stuff is less necessary at this point, because I think, as the videos that I put out show, the powers that be are in front of a camera essentially telling us what they're doing. You know, it's kind of, in the last 2 years, everything is pretty much out in the open as far as I'm concerned. So it's just a case of showing people and interlinking it with information that validates why they're saying what they're saying and where things are heading. And topics like transhumanism comes up, and digital ID and vaccine passports and all the stuff that you touched on, actually, with John Hamer on your last conversation with him. I thought that was a great podcast, actually. You know, talking about CBDCs and that kind of stuff. He really nailed a lot of stuff in that podcast.
Yeah, that's his next books will be on this topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because, as I was saying to John, it's moving so quick. I think we were talking on the last one about how Australia's biggest companies are being hacked. You know, telecommunications companies, now power companies, now medical companies. I've never seen this in my life.
The problem reaction solution.
Yeah, and then, we were talking about this, but when we last talked, it was just Optus, and now it's like three other companies. And the talk from the media and the government is all, digital identity, you know, digital driver's license, touchless stuff, all this kind of stuff. But the digital ID, you know, speak coming from the government platforms and media is overwhelming. And I can't believe, I mean, I hope people are putting two and two together, because it's really desperate. It's really desperate, and you can see now where they're just moving on. You can see that the whole COVID thing and everything was just part of Agenda 2030, that this is the next phases, the environmental stuff, you know, the new green agenda, and this new AIB squid they want to implement, because I feel like Australia is really in the crosshairs here. We're definitely being experimented on. They want to show the world, you know, this model of this modern, as I said to John, this modern Western country and how this can be done. It's just a matter of, you know, if people in this country put up with it, if they want to go down this path. And we did discuss that with John. Yeah, this is dangerous territory. But you can see it. And we can see these spot fires everywhere of chaos being lit. Even in your neck of the woods, you know, with the Prime Minister and everything, it's just a classic. It's a disaster, you know. And, you know, the companies being hacked and the war in Ukraine and the UK Parliament in dismay and all these things going on. There's so many distractions. Distractions. Yeah. But as I keep saying, the last couple of years, there weren't any distractions. There was nothing else. It was just COVID-19 and get your jabs. And that was it. It was just so strong. And now that they're rolling all that back and people are thinking, why did I get these jabs for? What's going on here? This is weird. They're distracting everybody, you know, and also, you know, mass forms of entertainment and big sporting events are back. The concerts are back. You know, it's amazing. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are playing into that hand and going on holidays and enjoying themselves. Good on them, I guess, you know. And they're sort of feeling like it's all over. We went through this storm, but they don't understand that it's not all over. There's more to come. We're only in the early stages of this, and we need to keep tracking it and getting information out to as many people as we can. I think I am seeing that. I mean, I don't know if you agree with your kind of fly on the wall view of things, but John was kind of thinking, you know, looking at what this woman did, excuse me, I can't remember her name, the Prime Minister.
Liz Truss?
Yeah, Liz Truss. Mm. Apparently, I followed a little bit, but John was kind of saying on the last show the other night that she was bringing in very unpopular. She tried to push in some very unpopular laws, you know, taxing people and offering tax cuts for the rich and doing these ridiculous things. And there seemed to be a massive pushback in your part of the world, in the UK, and it's all fallen to pieces. I'd like to think that this is what's happening, you know, and I think that I look at Australia and how they're hacking all these companies are just... is absolutely. I think they are moving too quick to bring in. You know, I look at the Agenda 2030. I think they're forcing it now, and I think this is only going to make more people suspicious, and it's going to wake more people up. And what's good about your videos is you can simply document all of this that's happening in a simple format where people can sit down and watch it and go, "Yeah, look what they're doing." You know, so everything that they've done is good to document, and we'll bring this in. About your new video, which I could play a little bit, but it's very important as well. Looking at what they said about people who didn't want their jabs and how they treated people. And you think these people think in the media they're just going to walk away and get away with this?
Yeah.
It's just not on, but it's really criminal. Crazy times.
Literally criminal.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially this. I mean, when it comes to kids, you know, that's the thing that, you know, like Fauci. Getting kids to call in and say, you know, can we have Christmas this year and stuff like that, and him, you know, announcing that he personally went to wherever to, you know, vaccinate Santa Claus and all this kind of stuff. And it's just pure evil.
It's really. Just wrong.
There's no other way of putting it. It's just evil. We're dealing with literal devils here, you know, and that's. There was obviously, being an observer, there was just the energy at the time that I made the most recent video was, you know, the similar thing, just kind of looking back at what people have said, people were using the hashtag never forget and posting a news clip and stuff. And I just felt it needed someone to put it all together, you know, all of it as much as possible anyway, just to get a, you know. It could have gone on for an hour, to be fair, but it was a 17-minute video just showing what people were saying on, you know, TV and whatnot to try and coerce people into getting this stuff. And just utter criminality, really, you know, just dismissing anything other than a vaccine, demonizing people who didn't take it, you know, literally and transparently wanting people to turn against the unvaccinated to kind of do their job for them, you know, just demonize them, and ridicule them, you know, just total criminality. And you just think something like that could be shown in non-clown world, something like that could be shown in a court of law. You know, and you would hope that judges would be stunned, really, you know, with the premise that what's being injected into people is experimental. You know, it's just unreal. So that was Good Morning Clown World 59, which was out last Sunday. So that was the most recent one.
Let's play a tiny bit of this clip for folks.
Sure.
Do, Ian?
I think we should stop offering them anything. I think we should. The only thing we should offer people who don't want the vaccine is a knuckle sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Physical violence.
Physical violence.
Pfizer today announced that they say their vaccine is safe for kids aged 5 to 11. According to a Pfizer board member, a vaccine for those children could be available by the end of October. Well, I know what I'll be handing out for Halloween. A fun-sized Pfizer, you know? Many Americans are still resisting the vaccine in favor of the paste they use to deworm horses.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service. That's where I think we should be right now, because we continue to waste our breath on people who are just not going to change.
Breaking news in the fight against coronavirus. Pfizer just announced phase 3 trial results of its COVID vaccine on children, showing it is 100% effective in kids ages 12 to 15.
It's really important to know that the vaccines have all been through and met the necessary safety and quality standards.
So this is the bit where you're going to have the vaccine now, Elton. So right. Just kind of pretend that you're having the vaccine from a nurse.
For the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
As long as not everybody is vaccinated, nobody will be safe.
That's just a fraction of Jay's new video right there, just a tiny fraction of that. And the propaganda goes on. You've put heaps more info. I'll attach that latest video, but it is up on the website anyway, and I'll put it in there for folks who haven't seen it. But really, as we said there before, what you're doing here, Jay, is you're putting in their words what they said and what they've done and how they acted. They did it. We didn't make it up. They're the ones doing it, and they put it out there in the last 2 years. They did it here as well. And this is going to be a long process as well. I think it's going to encapsulate a lot of your upcoming videos where this data gets put into this format to show the world so we don't forget what they did and what they said. In one point there, the chubby guy, I don't know, he's an American talk show host. There was just that bit there where they're actually on live television calling for violence against people.
Essentially,
I mean, if you think if people say something like that on live TV against people, I mean, that is something that's can get you in a lot of trouble. Yet they're allowed to openly threaten people like that. And the first clip, folks, was a concert. Jay might know what concert that was, where they're calling out, yay, Pfizer jab, and yeah, the Moderna jab, anti-vaxxers, boo. This is the mob mentality, and just and these people who are playing into this scam, you're getting scammed worst of all. You know, I mean, this is, and as I said, this is just a tiny display of what was done in the last couple of years. That was very extreme in the United States. Here it was more kind of here we got kind of more threatened, but we that was just like childish in the US. You know, can't go to the ball game. You can't go and see grandma. You can't do that. Here it was kind of more just brutal. It was like, you know, it was a lot of coercion and in-your-face bullying and intimidation. We know that. And as it all gets torn apart now, we're starting to see all this. And I think, you know, with so much entertainment now, so much big sporting events back, and as I said, the concerts are back, and everybody's being distracted from what actually was done to them in the last couple of years and what was done to humanity. And, you know, this is a good way to document this and show everybody, because I'm certainly not going to forget. I mean, look what happened in Victoria. Look what happened in Melbourne. I mean, as an Australian, that is absolutely horrifying. That people were shot at, and I mean, this, I've never, you don't have any words for what was done, and that the military were used against us. From what I know, I didn't see this happening in really any country where actually military were put on the streets and the police forces were used against the public in such a vicious way. So every country kind of got it in different ways. The US is a bit of a different beast because of their Bill of Rights and the way things are going there. It's kind of a different beast to handle, so they just would have copped a lot of that, you know, really nasty propaganda through the mainstream media. And you'll note there as well, Jay, and I'm sure that I'll get your opinion on this. I'm sure that's why you put it up. Isn't it amazing the canned laughter? You know, like making jokes about people who don't want the jab, but like kind of disguised threats, and then the canned laughter. I mean, talk about clown world.
Yeah, it's. Jesus. Yeah, the US is just next level, like you say. So in some ways, it's a shame that I have to kind of focus so much on that country to kind of express that. But I guess US media gets everywhere as well, isn't it? Doesn't it? It's so huge. And like you say, the evening comedy shows are easily the most sinister form of propaganda.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's... I mean, all these people like James Colbert, who was getting, you know, dancers out dressed as vaccine needles.
James Colbert, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And James Corden as well.
Corden?
He's the heavy set one at the beginning there. He's actually an English comedian. All these people, the, you know, US comedian late night shows, they're all compromised, like, clearly. Yeah, I guess it goes without saying, but... You know, intelligence agency assets, essentially, because the stuff that they're saying and doing and getting people to laugh at is just next level. It's insane. You got people sat at home watching this and kind of going, apparently I should be laughing at this. You know, this is what's deemed funny. It's so sinister. It really is. But I guess that's the stuff that gets the highest viewership. Over there, so it's completely propagandized, hideous stuff.
That's hideous, isn't it?
Yeah. And like you say, over here it's the same as, not the same as Australia, but it's a little bit more toned down, a little bit more British and less less dramatic and obvious, but still very sinister levels of propaganda, a bit more subtle. Just a lot of talking heads who are more than happy to go on TV and say this is 100% effective, you know, as if that's ever a thing to begin with. You know, I don't think you can really say that with any medical product in history, surely, you know, but they were more than happy to say that. with a big smile on their face, you know. And those are the people that, in non-clown world, would be in a court of law. So, you know, how many people have you coerced into taking something with false data? You know, that's a serious thing, clearly.
Oh, that's war crime stuff. Treason. Yeah. I mean, that's disgusting. And now with the video we saw in the in Europe, where there are the guys asking the Pfizer exec, you know, about the jab stopping transmission. Of course, there's no transmission. I don't believe in any virus, but and they're up there saying that no. That's the latest video out of, you've seen it. Europe. Yeah, he's saying, look, he's directly asking. He's basically asking if Pfizer knew that the Pfizer jabs would stop the transmission of the SARS-CoV-2 thing. And they said, no, we just basically did it at the speed of science, she says. But yeah, we were not told that. And all the millions of people who got told to get the jabs, because I remember the script last year, and they were telling you it was like we just heard there, telling you that it's safe for kids, it's safe for pregnant women. Last year in Australia, they were telling us you had to get it. You absolutely have to get it. It's the only thing that's going to save you. It absolutely works. It stops the spread of the virus. It will protect you and all of this. But they cover their asses too. Like, they absolutely lied. With their wording, they placed it very well. But now you can see their we've just had that recently where their chief health officers in Victoria, they've come out and openly stated that 1, 2, 3, 4 just doesn't seem to be working. And yeah, you know, that's what we've been saying. People were told something else a year ago or 2 years ago, and now they're in no man's land thinking, why did I get it? If I get the jabs, 1, 2, 3, 4 boosters, 5 boosters, and it offers me no more protection than someone who doesn't get it, then why did I get it? And so now they're thinking that everyone's just going to forget this and we're all going to be swept up in their entertainment and forget about it. But it's absolutely incredible. And just to mention creepy, a clip that you put in that new video that I've never seen before was the clip with George W. Bush Jr., George Bush Jr., and Barack Obama and Clinton out front of the White House, was it? And they're in their suits, and they're doing, and they've got this music, and they're actually standing there, and they're telling you to all the Americans to get the jabs.
Yeah,
I never saw that clip before. Where did you get that?
That was aired during the that was during the Biden inauguration, I believe, when they were all kind of together. So I think they were recording that around the time that Biden was getting inaugurated. But yeah, I was laughing about that with a friend, because it was like, you know, can you think of a worse advert for the chat? You know, those three together.
But have you ever seen that in your life, where three former presidents of the United States standing there in suits like their pharmaceutical representatives telling you to get vaccinated? I mean, talk about living in the Twilight Zone, folks. Yeah. I mean, if that didn't creep people out, I don't know what would.
Yeah.
And you know what I find? I find Barack Obama, I find that guy, he gives me the creeps. He's one of these people that, if there are aliens, folks, so he's definitely one, you know, like Musk and these people. He really makes my skin crawl, that guy.
I think he's one of the kind of Manchurian candidates, really. Kind of groomed for this role.
Maybe under mind control or something. There's something weird with him. Never liked him. And he's so slick, isn't he? And you watch him, you can go back to YouTube and you just like look at old Barack Obama kind of speeches and the way he turns his head, boom, sharp turns, the hand movements. He's a con man. He's an absolute con man and a salesman. And you look, yeah, he's very slick. He's very smooth. You listen to every word, the way he delivers his speeches, the way he does it, how cold, he's cold as ice. Unbelievable. You know, George Bush was just kind of stupid. And Clinton too, you know, and he got himself in a whole lot of sex problems and everything. But Obama was really, he was almost like robotic in the way that he always talked to the US people, you know, and I just always found him really off-putting, like a little bit too slick, you know.
For sure.
I'm waiting for him to blow a gasket.
To be honest, when I listen to him now, that slickness is kind of dissipating quite a lot. He's, you know, he's getting a bit older and people are kind of figuring him out and stuff. It's a bit of a train wreck, to be honest. But I sort of look at these leaders now as like mobsters, really, just literal kind of gangsters, you know, put in this position. They're just mobsters, really. And some of them sort of directly, I guess, like even Trump was directly affiliated with the mob, you know, stuff like that. So these are the characters that they are, I think, really, you know. When you look back to the sort of Vietnam War and all that kind of stuff, where it was essentially about retaining the supply of drugs for the US and stuff like that. These are just mobsters doing, you know, massive deals on a global scale that are trying to convince the public that, you know, it's for the greater good and all this. And just total mobsters.
I was saying that on a few older podcasts that I was thinking, kind of reminds me of like a bank heist, like a bank robbery, and we're all in the bank, you know, and they're taking us hostages. They're like bank robbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in those old movies you used to watch where the mafia used to, come into the shops and used to have to pay them. The shop owners would have to pay them a percentage, like a tax to them, and then they would leave them alone. I mean, they're just fleecing the public. They're just charging us taxes, which are illegal, and they're acting like kingpins. They're like mafia.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
it's just like we're hostages in a bank robbery, and we're all, and that's where you get Stockholm syndrome. That's a real thing when you look that up. It's hostages being psychologically terrorized and dominated, and then developing feelings for the terrorists, the people holding them captive. Maybe it's something inbuilt in humans, and they're doing it in order to try and survive. So they feel like if I become nicer with them. Or, you know, it's just a weird concept with humans that was documented with Stockholm syndrome. And we see that very, very much today. I think it's gone beyond that, actually. And I think this is because of mass brainwashing and television and all this entertainment and everything, you know. So the public are willing to support the very people who are destroying all our lives and want us dead, basically, or if not that, under the boot, under control. And if you try to tell most people, they don't want to listen because they support the government, and that is a weaponized form of Stockholm syndrome. So I think it's only intensified for not all of us, but for large, you know, quite large sections of society. It's kind of like that. I mean, how could you support these people? But, you know, some of the stuff that I saw from the United States, as you mentioned there before, I never saw this in the UK or Australia or anywhere. As you can see, Canada sort of a bit, it's worse than Australia. I think New Zealand is worse than us as well, in a lot of ways. But they were more blunt. It was kind of different. But that sort of stuff that you put in your video of the US, like, yeah, it's crazy. You know, like I did see it in fractions, in parts, in Australia on morning breakfast shows. As you said, these sort of entertainment news chat talk show things, like they never worked in Australia. I don't know how they go in the UK, but you know those kinds of silly kind of late night talk shows. You were mentioning these guys like comedians, that other hosts, Corbett, is it, and the Corbyn Report, and it goes right back throughout U.S. history. You remember David Letterman, and they used to be quite witty, the kind of late night. You'd be sitting up late having a beer or whatever, and you're 11 o'clock at night, and you're watching these kind of. They weren't. They were a little bit political, but they had guests on, and
they weren't so overtly propaganda.
That's right. It wasn't too bad. Yeah. It was kind of funny watching, and now it's got really nasty, hasn't it?
Yeah, really.
Boy, man, that is really like the stuff that you put in there. And as I said, I did kind of see that in Australia, but it wasn't like that. And the American stuff is just so, it's just crazy.
It's next level, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's like, we're obviously in this phase of like the Great Awakening or whatever, not in a QAnon sense. But, you know, I think it's fair to say that a lot of people are progressing outside of the matrix quite considerably, and you can just imagine being in the US and being in this state and seeing what they see, you know, from the media and from TV, and that, you know, they're flipping out, surely, because I mean it's like you say, it's just next level over there, just clowniness. I guess maybe it's got something to do with the idea that I think they changed the law. I can't remember what it was called, but it's essentially the state allows them to essentially propagandize the people, sort of written into law. I think it was under Obama. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. But it allowed stuff essentially, I guess, the psyops to just be ramped up. So you have all these kind of school shooting operations and all this. It was kind of like you're good to go, essentially. You know, you can just totally psyop the nation. And I suppose it's just ramped up to such an extent that it's just gone mental over there. Just absolute craziness.
You wonder, we did say this, and I said it all through last year, and I've been saying it since for so long now, that as the system itself loses control, it's going to become more comical and insane as more people, humanity, wake up. Because as we were saying with John and others on the podcast, it's not just a physical wake-up call and people acting out and wanting to do things and lashing out against the system, but, you know, it's an internal thing as well. It's a spiritual thing, you know. It's a vibrational thing. And, you know, when lots of people start to feel a certain way, that changes the vibrational frequencies. And this is what they don't like. So, you know what I mean? It's on a whole lot of deeper levels here. And there's lots of things really going on. It's really incredible. I'm seeing so many things that kind of give me hope. I put some info up on my website just about these great folks in the US, and one woman, and they're African American, and they're exposing the Black Lives Matter people. I don't know if you saw it. It's really good. They're going to their mansions. These Black Lives Matter people are living in these mansions in Laurel Canyon, and they're fleecing. Right. They're fleecing the American people, and not one African person is getting anything from this. And it's such an agenda. It happened here in Australia, you know. Black Lives Matter protests in Melbourne, the police on their knees bending down like praising them. We go out and protest the lockdowns, they bash your heads in. So it's been such a and this woman who was on Tucker Carlson, anyway, she was really well spoken and very good. I really like her. And she was talking about going up there to Laurel Canyon and these mansions of these BLM co-founders, says Patrice Khan Cullors. And she's saying that she didn't take all this money from the organization, who, as I said, are scamming people. I haven't watched the documentary, but I did put up the clip. But here is Black Lives Matter being exposed by Kanye West and these people as well. I mean, that guy's huge in the music industry. He's huge, and he's coming out. He's feeling like he's getting a bad deal as well, Kanye West. And whether people like him or not, it's his right to have his say. And he's coming out lately, and there's all this kind of stuff coming on. And I was just thinking before, because I didn't mean it, but I was reading something today about James Gordon. That's him, James Corden.
That's it.
He's the comedian from the UK, the chubby guy, and he's the one on the TV program in the US I played the clip before, where they're threatening people to punch people and stuff, go after people who are not vaccinated. Evidently, he's been in the media lately because he's been berating and screaming at waiters and stuff. And he's issued a groveling apology, but apparently he's, yelling at waiters in restaurants because he doesn't like his food or something, and screaming at people. So another puffed up Hollywood kind of guy that all the celebrity stuff's gone to his head, and now he's screaming at people, and this is all going through the media as well. I think that all watching all this stuff is really interesting to us, because I think, like, it seems like the system is just starting to fall to pieces, and this is a common theme I've been bringing up on many podcasts, even to the point where we're saying that you read the mainstream media papers and they're making a lot of grammatical errors. They're making a lot of mistakes. Some of it doesn't make sense. These celebrities seem to be malfunctioning. There's all this stuff going on as the pressure mounts and more people wake up. And we put more content out, you know. And we've been talking to guests about that we're kind of viewing it as the system is starting to malfunction. And I've been saying this for ages. And as it does, and more people wake up to it, it's going to get worse, and it's going to lash out, and it's going to get scary, folks, as it tries to maintain control and order using fear tactics and propaganda. But if we hold the line and we just get more and more and more of us on deck, we can sail through this and break it down.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Yeah, I think we're clearly equipped for this now, because I don't know about you, but seeing that stuff, it just it's obviously horrifying, but it kind of washes over you at the same time, because you know you're immune to the coercion. It's so transparent, you know, once you step outside the matrix and all becomes clear, you know, we're kind of immune to it. But at the same time, there's got to be a lot of discernment about who we're siding with, you know, essentially with like people like Kanye West and stuff like that. I mean, very cautious about that kind of stuff. Like, I guess, like, to quote like Lenin's famous quote, where it's like, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So it's this concept of this controlled opposition, this demolition. And Kanye West, I was thinking about it the other day. There's Kanye West, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, all kind of affiliated in some way with the right-leaning thinkers, and all three of them have social media platforms now, you know, Parler with Kanye West, True Social with Trump, and now Twitter with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is obviously looking to convert Twitter to an app called X, and you can see videos of him now essentially lauding China and the WeChat app, which he essentially says he wants to turn Twitter into WeChat. And WeChat is the Chinese kind of state-owned app that contains everything within it. So social media, digital ID, you know, passports, medical passports, you make payments through it, you make calls through it. It's the app that rules everything. And essentially, Elon Musk is basically saying that that's what he's going to be doing with Twitter. So on the one hand, you have that, and then you already have the controlled opposition in place with Trump's thing and Kanye West's thing. You know, it's already installed. It's the beast system is getting set up before our eyes, as far as I'm concerned. And people like Elon Musk is the chosen one, I think, you know. He's got the same PR treatment that Gates had probably in the 80s and 90s, where everyone kind of worships him and thinks he's this cool computer geek. Excuse me. But really, he's working behind the scenes with China and a lot of this beast tech, and wants to put a brain chip in everyone's head. And, you know, he's the chosen one, as far as I'm concerned. So I think there's a lot of discernment that needs to be had about who we're following, and you know, Kanye West is very effective at the moment because he's on the one hand garnering a lot of support from the right while also saying a lot of stuff that, you know, is going to land the ordinary person in a lot of trouble because, you know, he wants to essentially refer to the Jews as an entirety. And to praise Kanye West is presumably to go along with that kind of statement, which rightly or wrongly is going to, you know, lead to more of this sort of January 6th type of treatment where people are tracked and traced and put in jail and go to court and get all sorts of fines, you know, because it looks like Kanye West is going to be going to trial in a similar way that Alex Jones just has with the George Floyd incident, where Kanye West has basically stated that he wasn't murdered by the police or something, that he died from fentanyl overdose or something like that. So there's going to be, at some point, expect a huge televised trial, aka Alex Jones, with another huge fine. And it's just further setting this precedent that, you know, if anyone says anything that doesn't follow a state narrative, you're going to get a huge fine, you're going to get locked up. Do you know what I mean? That was a bit of a tangent.
Very interesting. Very interesting, yeah. Because you've just covered what I was on my Nightwatch podcast, actually.
Interesting.
I was saying the same thing. Yeah, it's really interesting that we've met in the middle here. Because I said that about Jones, because he questioned the whole Sandy Hook thing, which is obviously a psyop. I think those school shootings are completely staged, but he's been covering all that, and then you have this big massive trial, and they want him to pay $1 billion, and now it's a trillion, isn't it? I mean, it's so over the top and ridiculous, and it's just highly
as well. That's kind of like a signal as well, isn't it? These super high fees,
yeah,
where it's kind of like
$1 billion.
It's a can do go for everyone. It's like a little message goes off in everyone's head. So if someone says something wrong,
that's right,
something that I'm involved in, we can make loads of money. And it's just like, it just really gets the ball rolling. And I think that's what that big figure is kind of about. And, you know, as soon as Kanye West said that thing about George Floyd, his family are on the case. Like, right, big payoff here, guaranteed, because he's going against the state narrative.
Well, yeah, that's right. And, well, as I was saying with on another show with Alex Jones, yeah, that, as you said there, it does that. It scares anybody off from questioning these false flag events. And it also demonizes the truth movement, because you got these families, you know, these so-called families who lost their kids in this thing, sobbing in court, and this evil Alex Jones truther, you know, look what he did, and now he's got to pay $1 trillion. And, you know, and the people out there watching are like, well, you know, these truther platforms, all of them, because, you know, that's what I always said, like, guys like this Alex Jones are built up to be torn down, and when they get torn down, they take everyone with them who's doing
truth media,
you know. And we all, it gives us all a bad name, but as you said there, yeah, it also spooks anyone off from ever questioning these events, because you know, Fetzer, and there's been a lot of people who have documented this event, which is their right to. If we have these shooting events or big events like 9/11 or whatever it is, it's people's right to dig into that. And why should you just have the mainstream media narrative and that's it? Why can't people and researchers out there study this and write books and make videos and break it down in their way? If we live in a democratic society, if everything's equal, no, it's not. It has to be what they say, and you don't have your opinion anymore, and that's where they're going. And I think we can see this reflected through the current Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinta Ardern. She got up in front of recently in the UN, and she basically said that there's too much misinformation online, and we don't like it, and we're going to have to stamp it out. And, you know, if we're telling you to get the jabs and these truther platforms are saying don't because it's dangerous, we just can't have that, can we? And so I think that as people are waking up in such huge numbers, the system itself has to try and juggle this and manage it. And yeah. So what we're going to get is you know, psychological operations on steroids. And mm-hmm. I think what you said there, exactly. I put up the Kanye West stuff because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking today, you know, like, because, you know, he's going against that narrative, you know, he's going against that mainstream media and that whole Black Lives Matter narrative. And he's just put an ice pick through it. And I think it's good. I think it's really good. I think these Black Lives Matter people who are living in riches and in mansions, I think that people need to understand that that is state-sponsored terrorism. That is sponsored by Biden, the administration. They're sponsoring these people. They're domestic terrorists. And they're trying to set black against white and every color against every color, and they're getting us all fighting. And they're making everything so hateful, but at the same time, they're fleecing everybody's money. And we're not looking at the real enemy here. We're fighting against each other, and that's what the system always does so well. It keeps us all infighting and bickering and arguing and hating one another. And humanity in our millions or our billions, we're not banding together and saying, he's the real enemy, it's them, we need to stamp this out. We're too busy fighting, and that's what they're doing. But you bring up an interesting point there as well, because obviously a lot of people, you know, and a lot of us out there, we're looking at the power of the, you know, the Jewish influence and Israel, looking at money and banking, Wall Street, all this. There's a lot of influence there, and people are bringing that up. Hollywood and everything. It's a lot of Jewish influence there. There's a lot of money through here. And that is a common theme a lot of people talk about. So, you know, that's an interesting theme that you bring up, where Kanye West, this massive figure, he's suddenly come out saying, oh, the Jews do everything, you know, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous. Exactly. You can't tell me that every Jewish person is a bad person. That's ridiculous. Who are you talking about? Oh, the Jews did 9/11. Well, who do you mean? Give us some names. So, mm-hmm. you know, when he's saying Jews, you sort of think, oh, hang on here. And then there you go. What you said before, this could be sort of set up where, as you said, he questioned the George Floyd thing, which was very strange, but he's questioned it. And now, as you said, the families are coming in. They're not going to be happy about that. Then you're going to get him, I guarantee you. Let's call this tonight. I think there's going to be the George Floyd community or family taking this guy to court. I reckon, as you said there, and that's a really good thing that you bring up there. I'm going to champion that tonight on the podcast. I guarantee you, folks, there's going to be a big court case with the Floyd people and Kanye West, and it's going to go to court, and he's going to get hammered with fines for saying Jew. You know what I mean? And then that's going to scare anyone else from saying anything about this. So isn't this an interesting, unique situation that we find ourselves in now?
Yeah. That's why we say the controlled opposition discernment. You know, where is this heading? It's like Alex Jones, you might say, like 50% of what he says is kind of spot on, but, you know, he deliberately turns the conspiracy media up to 11 and makes us all sound ridiculous. Kanye West doesn't strike me as a particularly, like, intelligent person or anything like that. He's like, maybe some of it's organic, but, you know, it's like, I always refer back to that time when I think Trump just got in and Kanye West was having some sort of breakdown, and then he dyed his hair like bright blonde, which is sometimes what you see from these these MK Ultra victims, and then he's quickly up in Trump Tower having a meeting with Trump. And I think we're seeing an operation play itself out, you know, and he's currently in this role to further demonize people like you and me. Whether he knows that or not, I don't know. But there's an interesting book by that I'm reading at the moment by John Potash called Drugs as Weapons Against Us. Amazing book, like so much information. But it really demystifies all that kind of MK Ultra stuff, because I think a lot of it goes into sort of kooky territory. Creating mind control assassins and stuff like that, which is a part of it. But the history obviously dates back to just infiltrating civil rights and activist groups and getting them on drugs in order to A, promote drugs because the CIA are importing and selling them, but also just to sideline these people and depoliticize them essentially and promote drugs as part of their role. And so I think it's kind of underplayed. The idea that this stuff doesn't go on today is obviously ludicrous. But when people talk about MKUltra, it's like, oh, you know, that was from the 70s or whatever. But I think, you know, someone like Kanye West could be an absolute prime candidate for that sort of treatment. You know, they've all got these personal doctors and, you know, they're on pharmaceuticals, and even to the point where you see those videos from Zelensky and Ardern, who just look like they're doing lines of cocaine before they go on stage and talk and stuff. I think it's really underplayed, like, how much drugs are involved in getting these talking heads on stage to say what they need to say and people to do what they need to do. So, yeah, I guess that's my theory about Kanye West, is that he is a victim of MKUltra in some capacity, which is to say that he's potentially dosed up and sent in certain directions and just not thinking straight and, you know, stuff like that.
So. See, it's interesting when, because, yeah, as you said with Trump there, and when they lash out like this, and then most importantly when the world media latch onto it, you sort of think this is an operation of some type, you know. And it's interesting for us to note and put up and talk about and chat and get the conversation rolling. It could be just purely organic. We don't know. We're just offering our opinions here tonight. But it is strange, isn't it? And I always said that about Trump, you know, like, I mean, he suckers me in a little bit. I love the way that he talked to the media. I think it's just hilarious. I can't not like the guy with
presidency.
It's great. I mean, when have you ever seen a US president talk to the media like that, you know? You know, shut up, sit down, you know. You lie for a living and everything. It's good to see, but, you know, I always say that, you know, when Trump came into power, that was at that real specific moment in time in US history where people were really wanting change. And, you know, with the US, as I said, you know, it's a different beast. It's a different beast to control. And things run differently there. And they don't want to lose control there. And I just felt like, I feel like with Trump and the American mindset and the way that they were sort of wanting this big shift and they were wanting this big change, and this was after, of course, you know, Clinton and as we mentioned, Obama and everything, and then they gave them Trump. And this falls in line with what we've been saying tonight, that you know, I mean, and what you perfectly said there with Alex Jones, that is true. This is what we call false opposition, because they will give you the truth. They will give you unbelievable truth. And as more people wake up, they will give you more and more truth that you can't believe, because it's unbelievable. And then that makes people fall into this and give their confidence into this, into these networks. But at the same time, in such a deep, cunning extremely, you know, manufactured or well-oiled sort of machine way, they steer people away in just such a way. You know, like with 9/11, you know, he'll give you this unbelievable information about 9/11, then he'll say the Saudi Arabians did it, you know, or, you know, like they'll give you this blocks of unbelievable info and then he'll say something and you're like, what? But, you know, so at the same time, they're steering you away, but they're giving you information, and the system has to do this because they know people are waking up. So it has to stay many steps ahead of us as more and more people out there get access to incredible information and they start to wake up and they start doing thinking for themselves and they start working out what's really going on here. Well, then they have to put puppets in play that tell you what you already know. And you're like, oh, wow, this guy's awesome. I'm following him. And then they suck you in with everything you want to know and everything that you've researched. And you're like, I love this guy. And you subscribe and you go on. And then But you just don't notice those cunning little edges where they're sweeping you away with very, very well orchestrated manipulation to throw you off path. It's like a kind of, I kind of look at it like a train, you know, on a train track, and it's going down, and you just have that kind of hiccup where the train derails. It's kind of like that, you know. It's just throwing you off course. And sometimes ever so slightly, but that's the way it is now. And as more people wake up and it gets more intense, I just don't know how they're going to be able to continue here. And I think what we're talking about tonight with Kanye West and everything, it seems to be getting a bit desperate. But if they're going to go down this path where they're going to set celebrities up to teach us a lesson or take away more of our rights, then boy, that's another level.
It's operations on every level, isn't it? Because I noticed another example, and I'm not saying this as a definite or whatever, but it's like suspicious. And in the same way with Kanye West, where he goes on Piers Morgan, he's on Tucker Carlson, you know, if he's getting that sort of access to share his views, then you know it's a psyop, in my opinion, because you know, no one gets to go on those kind of platforms unless there's an operation rolling out.
That's right.
There is some sort of information that favours a narrative. That just doesn't happen. And similarly, in the UK right now, you do have what appears to most people as some genuine pushback about the effects of the vaccine. And there's this guy that's been propped up called Asim Moultra, I think is his name. He's an Asian chap who appeared on the recent Oracle Films documentary, A Second Opinion. He was initially on board with the vaccine rollout, and then his father basically died, and he put that down to the vaccine. So he's become sort of the poster boy in the UK as a doctor who's gone against the narrative, but now has access to Parliament to go in and discuss this stuff. So either organically or inorganically, he's become kind of the poster boy for this stuff, but has access to Parliament. And the first thing that's come out of it is that he's proposing that the vaccine injury needs to be treated the same way as long COVID. So on the face of it, you'd think, oh, well, that's interesting. They're acknowledging injuries. But to me, it's a huge red flag because it's essentially acknowledging and accepting long COVID as completely separate from the thing that he's campaigning against. So it's like there's no discussion about long COVID, which is like this mysterious thing that no one can define, and vaccine injury. And you know, the government will just be going, well, long COVID is a much bigger problem statistically, you know, they're rigged statistics, than vaccine injury. So all that really does is cement the idea that being vaccinated is better than ending up with long COVID, of which many, many more people are affected by, without acknowledging that long COVID could easily be a result of the vaccine to begin with. I know that was a long-winded way of explaining that. But it strikes me as another bit of a red herring, and someone who's set up as an advocate and someone on our side, but it's essentially playing into an outcome that suits the state.
Yeah,
because to me, like, long COVID is just
that's what they're going with.
Yeah, really absolutely. Waiting to ramp up. You know, going to start releasing all this data, like X amount of million people can't work anymore because of long COVID, and that's going to be, you know, what we're left with, essentially, that COVID has caused all this, you know, damage, and it far outweighs the impacts of the vaccine. But obviously, in my mind, and I don't know what your opinion on it is, but to me, long COVID should be acknowledged as potentially a result of the vaccine.
Well, that's how they cover it.
Mm.
That's how they cover it. Yeah, we've been going on and on about this. They've just called it long COVID. And the list was short when it started, and now it's like endless. and they're throwing everything into this basket, whatever it is, whatever malfunctions and whatever cryptic, chronic, conditions people are displaying, and whatever heart conditions or anything. It's just, as we were talking about the other night, Moderna are now coming out with a, I don't know if you saw this information, but Moderna are boasting about a new mRNA jab that can fix, they're saying will fix people's heart conditions. Did you see that? So I was talking about this on the Night Watch podcast that why are they like, because the situation where we're in now is that in Australia, and I know in the US, people and around the world, people don't want any more boosters. People don't want boosters. They told that they were supposed to have two, and they had their two, and now they're being told to have three, or you can't work, or whatever, you know, and it just was ridiculous. And people, a lot of people, and I've spoken to a lot of people, don't want more than two. But I understand a lot of people having three. I know people around me, and people having now having their fourth, and then they're going to have a fifth. But, I mean, are we voodoo dolls? Are we pin cushions? I mean, this, and I've been bringing this up on many shows. I mean, how many jabs can you make people get before they say, I don't want any more, right?
Yeah.
But what if you don't have a choice? What if you don't have a choice? And what I mean by that is, you know, in Melbourne, in Australia, they're building a multi-million dollar Moderna facility to engineer and manufacture these jabs. And I'm thinking, people have already told you, man, you know, like, we don't want any more jabs. We're being told now they don't work. The jig is up. It's exposed. And people did what they were told, and now they're pissed off, and they don't want any more, right?
Yeah.
Why are they building facilities to manufacture more? So on a few of my podcasts, I was just talking about an antidote in a way that maybe you won't have a choice, you know? And this was ages ago. I was just mentioning this, and I didn't hear anyone else talking about it. It was just in my own thoughts. I was just thinking, well, what if, because I did watch a video of a young guy in New Zealand who had a heart inflammation, and it was really a chronic case. He was about to get married. It's a New Zealand case. So it's a young guy, young couple. They were engaged. And she wasn't very comfortable with him getting it, and he went and got the shot. And then pretty shortly after, he was woke up in the night, very upset, and he told his partner to call an ambulance. He felt like his chest was being crushed in. And when he went to the hospital, they told him he had the myocarditis, you know, the heart muscle inflammation. And then it went through his story, and all these tablets and pills. It was like you saw back in the old HIV days, you know, like he had this whole table in his kitchen full of tablets because the doctors don't know what really to do with him. And so he was taking all these tablets and potions and pills just to really treat his condition. And his partner was saying that he could have a heart attack at any time. So now we're living on a knife's edge, and he has to go back every 2 weeks to the hospital to get his heart checked. And he has to get these, sort of like ultrasound things done and all this kind of technology done with him. And it's like their lives are ruined, man. And this guy's walking around at a young age, and he could drop dead at any moment. And this is what we're seeing with a lot of people. And I was talking about this for ages, and now it's very interesting to me that Moderna have come out and said, we've got a mRNA shot that we can give you if you've got heart problems that can go in there, and it can, it can help. It can, I forget what they say, but it was basically, it can...
just reverse the impact.
Not reverse, but it can help with the, there was a wording anyway, but it can basically help with, your heart muscle tissue and everything. It can help repair that and manage your condition a lot more than any drugs you're going to be able to take and everything like that. You know, that's basically their thing, that we've come up with an injection that we can give you if you've got heart inflammation, heart muscle inflammation. And that injection can go in and repair that damage that's been done to your heart muscle vessels and everything. and we're offering you a better form of life. Because if we don't offer you this injection, then you're going to have to keep taking pills. You're going to have to keep going back to the doctor. You're going to have to keep going back to the hospital, and you're in no man's land. But guess what?
The only solution.
Yeah, you've taken an initial injection or injections. That the media and governments, and they push with massive amounts of propaganda on the back of a lie to get, and now you've got that injection, and now your heart is basically ruined and your health is ruined, and now you're in big trouble. But guess what? We're coming up with another injection, because you don't want any more than two or three injections. We know that. And you've had enough. You got your two because you wanted to keep your job and travel. But, you know, because you've got heart inflammation, we've got another injection for you. And if you take this once a month or whatever times it is a year, then you can actually have a pretty good quality of life and your heart will be okay. But if you don't take it, then you could have a heart attack and die at any time. So what a business model we have here.
Yeah.
What 100%. Poison the population through these jabs by tricking them into thinking there's a virus. Boom, jab in the arm. Now make billions of people sick and then offer the solution through the same pharmaceutical corporations to give you more injections that you initially didn't want through your entire life for as long as you live in order to keep alive.
Totally, yeah.
I mean, what a business model is that?
Yeah.
You are talking trillions of dollars
from
poisoning people and then keeping them alive.
For sure.
On the back of a lie.
Cause the problem in the first place and then provide endless solutions.
Yeah, that's the thing. We give you an injection when there was nothing wrong with you and you were completely healthy, and now you become a customer for life.
Mm-hmm. You should get Jamie Deluxe on your show, who talks about the HIV crisis, because he just sort of aligns it perfectly with the COVID, like the exact same playbook.
The same play.
Where you essentially like Spanish flu for HIV and it magically comes back positive. Then you're kind of like, oh, well, I think you're going to probably die soon, I'm afraid. So here's a plethora of drugs that cause the very thing that we've told you you've got.
That's right.
And there you go.
That's right. We did many shows on HIV, and it's still it's like a rabbit hole, sort of like 9/11, you know. But we talked about you know, gay men living very unhealthy lives in San Francisco, New York, and these places back in the early 80s. You know, homosexual men, drug use, unprotected anal sex, you know, like so much stuff, you know, like, and how they brought in this AIDS HIV scam, and also we talked a lot about experimental hepatitis B injections that were tested on homosexual men, as well as we've heard recently with the monkeypox jabs, where they said that it was that good the one point. That was spreading for gay men, you know, and all the gay guys are lining up again. So you know, this is the same common theme that we've seen throughout history. It's the same common theme, it's just a different time. And you know, but it's the same theme. That's what I'm saying to people that has gone right way through. But AIDS was a classic one. Yeah, they, you know, gay men at that time, for example, who weren't feeling well, who were so petrified about, you know, contracting HIV, that they would go to the doctor, and the doctor, the same thing with COVID. They were doing these false tests and telling them that you have this. And that you're positive, scaring the hell out of them. And then imagine the role that plays in the mind. You know, when you're petrified and you're told you've got this disease and you're going to die. And then they would put them on these viral drugs, these rainbow of drugs. And which would, of course, what would it do? It would mimic the symptoms that they made up.
Now, I guess it's the same with like cancer diagnosis as well, isn't it?
Same thing.
Where you kind of go in and, like, you know, you've got X amount of time to live.
Mr. Smith, chemo.
Is radiation, burning, and, you know, all the stuff that's going to see to your demise, essentially.
That's right. It's called pointing the bone because the doctor tells you, you have cancer, Mr. Smith, and this is the only way to survive. And then your mind, you know.
Yeah, it's a big factor that's underplayed.
Massive factor.
Massive. Someone tells you you're going to die, that has a huge impact on your ability to survive mentally.
Right. And put that on steroids with COVID-19 and the media. Because the mainstream media all around the world have been pumping out this fear-mongering and propaganda to the masses that you're going to catch this virus and spread it to others and you could die and you have to get this jab. You know? 100%. And when people out there, they start to collectively think like this, you know, it really creates belief in this. And I guess that virus is really, really real for them, you know? And, this is the thing. It's just psychological warfare. Yeah. It's just manipulation. Yeah. It's psych warfare 101. They've gone to war against our minds. And it really is an unbelievable thing how the media, through the governments and through propaganda, they can just create something that just isn't there. And then through people's TV sets, if enough people believe it, it just, they conjure it up. It's an incredible thing that we're breaking down here on the podcast all the time. And how important it is for all of us to start thinking for ourselves and start to critically break down this. And once you start doing that, it is like the Matrix, and it'll just start to crumble apart in front of your eyes, and you start to see how ridiculous it is. You mentioned there, and we were talking about it's not just COVID and the monkeypox and AIDS and the swine flus and the Spanish flus and the great plagues and the black plagues and the Grim Reaper. I mean, it goes way back, all the way through history. And a lot of this also is to cover for industrial and environmental pollution and pesticide use. You know, obviously, we're looking at the Industrial Revolution with factories and fertilizers and spraying and everything that we came up with. And cities and cars and smog and everything and people get sick, people's bodies we get poisoned, and if we can't flush that out right, we get ill and we get symptoms and our bodies display symptoms, and the pharmaceutical companies like to come up with names for that and invent drugs and injections for it, and that also covers for big polluters and contaminators and big industry, same with polio. And pesticide spraying, this is just a common theme right throughout history. But, with COVID-19, this is a new beast, because this was pure propaganda through TV sets. This was just scaring you blatantly, about something that just isn't there. And then people have taken a prick in the arm, and now they're not feeling well, and now they're telling you that it's the virus. But for people who are not doing their research and they're looking around them, well, it's going to seem like a virus, because the vaccines trigger the real pandemic. And the pandemic has nothing to do with a virus. It's because you were poisoned. You were poisoned. Yeah. Your body was poisoned. You're not going to catch or spread anything to anyone. It is just a massive media psychological operation. I thought that 9/11 was huge, but this COVID-19 through the media, as we played from your video when we started the podcast tonight, and what they did, it is just phenomenal. It is just unbelievable, the fear-mongering. So it has been an unbelievable ride. And as we've been saying tonight, as more people start to clue onto this and wake up, the system, it's not going to just become more desperate, but it's going to be like a circus freak show. It's going to malfunction, and it's going to get so outlandish and bizarre. And I think most people, even though we're onto this, you and I and our listeners, but I think most people out there who kind of follow it are going to go, hang on. What is going on here? This doesn't seem right. It's getting really strange. And that is the spark that could finally get them kind of on our side and waking up. Because I think their next step is really trying to shut us all up here in alternative media. And I think that is a great point we brought up tonight. And you sparked that tonight. That is a really important point that you bring up. And perhaps this might be part of our ongoing shows and your videos, that perhaps these operations that we're seeing with West and these people, maybe this is a psychological operation to eventually try to demonize all of us and shut us up. Just like what happened in the US with the storming of the Capitol building yet. Yeah, and look what happened. And now they're trying to charge Trump and put him in prison. And look at Alex Jones, the poster boy of the alternative media network for years and years and years, as you said, up there screaming and bloating on and going on. And now they're crippling him.
Yeah.
They've built this guy up in alternative media. Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. It's like
he'll declare bankruptcy.
I put him on an island somewhere.
He's fine. He's
like Epstein. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? They build these guys up and get everybody sucked in. Probably take all our bank details and all our personal details of all the patriots, and then tear them down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing with the Parler and the Truth Social stuff. You can guarantee that all the people on those platforms are being surveilled or on a list. It's like, surely, you know.
They've
got their targets right there. They know exactly who these people are. It's like all these little silos where it's actually like beneficial for them to be kicked off Twitter and go on this echo chamber on another platform and stuff. They're just getting people in these little small information silos or whatever. And yeah, easy to track and keep tabs on. Yeah.
It's almost like the people are just being constantly herded, and when they're herding this big flock and a few of the flock kind of stray outward and want to get out of there, they have to herd them back in by any means possible. It's such a game that we're living in. And I would say, before we plug out to our listeners, don't be negative about this. This is just something we have to openly discuss. We're missing these open discussions on this because we have to look into the mirror and we have to face this and we have to talk about it and openly discuss this so we can break it down and find our way forward. But there's a fog there, you know, like. And people who we think are on our side or friends of us who are leading us, they're leading us astray. And it's, there's no worries with questioning what Jay and I are saying right now. Bloody hell, go ahead, question us.
Yeah,
question me. You know, if you have a problem with me or what Jay said, contact us, let us know, and we'll bring it up on the next show. Or if you have any questions, that's fine. We want to get the discussion. I'm just here to learn, and there's no ego here. I've always said that, you know, I'm open to discussion, and if I go the wrong way or I say the wrong thing, or, you know, if I'm not right, I'm prepared to rewind and start again because I'm here to find answers and I want to know what the hell's bloody well going on.
So, yeah,
and, you know, there's a lot of trickery out there. And, of course, they're going to put these big truthers in and they're going to lead you astray out to sea, out into foggy waters, you know. And it's not, and we don't want to be paranoid, and there's a lot of great stuff happening. We just have to be, have our wits about us and just, you know, and just be like a hawk, you know, and keep our eyes on everything. And I think that's what's great about doing this kind of podcasting is we're just kind of breaking down everything. And nobody cares about what we do. We're just like small alternative media. We're down the bottom here. We're just a couple of guys talking about this and doing our channels, and we just want to find answers and break all this down and get the information out there. So, you know, I think there's really important points brought up tonight that people have to chat about, and I think we get the discussion rolling tonight. Jay, anything you want to finish on tonight? And also mention your channels or how people can support you or anything like that.
Sure. Thanks again, Adam. Good chat today. So Jay Wilderness, all one word, Wilderness, Jay Wilderness, YouTube, Substack, Rockfin, Odyssey, Rumble, everywhere. There's loads of them there. But I am going to be dropping a new video today. So that'll be up this evening, UK time, and that is another What's Going On video, but focused on the music industry specifically, and all the issues that are going on with musicians and cancelling tours and dropping on stage and that kind of stuff. So that should be a little twist on the story that we've been tracking. So yeah, that'll be up today. I would like to encourage people to subscribe to the Substack, actually, because that's a good way of basically you'll get an email when something new goes up. And I'm starting to do a bit more writing as well. So it's just like an additional outlet to keep things going. There's no paywall behind anything, so it's totally free, but there's just like an optional donation thing, like a monthly thing if people want to. But yeah, I'm not into the paywall thing and kind of putting stuff behind that on a personal level. So it's just a donation-based thing. But yeah, the Substack's a good option to follow me up. But yeah, thanks again for the chat, Adam.
That's right. And yeah, good work, good option. That's kind of where I'm going as well. We put all this out and everything we do is pretty much public, but that option is there for people who want to go a little bit deeper, for myself here, and that option's there for you as well, just to help you do, because it takes time, you know. This eats into our time and family life and everything. It's not easy, man. I'm not just sitting here all day doing podcasts. I've got to work in the day and do things.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting down here. I've got a child to look after, and I'm rushing, and I'm just jumping down here. I didn't have anything prepared tonight. I'm like a chook with its head cut off. It was super difficult today, and we've managed to throw out a good podcast because it's been organic. And I feel like if I were given the time to sit down and plan things, it wouldn't work. So yeah, I've always hit these podcasts like just jumping in the chair and not even having anything ready. And I feel like that maybe that's okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. That suits me as well. You know, just natural, spontaneous, not scripted. That's the way to go. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing scripted here. I didn't even know what we were going to talk about tonight. And as you know, I was running a little bit late, and I said just to wait on there because I was like running around and, you know, got family and things. It's difficult. And yeah, I don't have my own area to do the podcast as well. I don't have my own office, my own space. It's hard, you know. I don't have my own computer and my own stuff that I am in control of. Hopefully one day, but it's really tough. And you know,
someone asked me, like, they hit me up and said, how do you make your videos? What are you using? It's all really, you know, good quality and stuff. And I'm just like, I just use iMovie on a cheap Mac, you know. It's like, it was free with the, you know, it's just really basic setup. It's nothing sophisticated or expensive or anything. So it's the kind of thing that anyone can do if they make the time.
That's right. I use that for the podcast on BitChute and stuff. It's a nice one. It's quite deep, actually. The more you learn, it's a simple way. Simple way to do it, but no fancy no fancy studio sets here.
That's it. Yeah.
This is Brass Knuckles Alternative Podcasting, I tell you, folks. We have no agenda here or nothing, but we do appreciate support, and it just helps, you know. And when people come in and support, it just creates that little community. And us, we just sort of think, well, you know, people care enough to come in and support in that way. And it's a really nice feeling, and it creates worth. And so that's why I created my members. It's a nice little thing. And we just want to continue and look at where Jay is going now. I mean, these videos don't just go to YouTube. They just go everywhere. They go everywhere and all over the place. And how many people are getting access to this material? It's a really important thing as we counter the mainstream media liars and their narrative, who are always trying to make themselves out to be bigger than what they really are. And that's a false narrative. It's a false appearance, because you look at the media, no one really watches them anymore, but you would think that millions watch. But then when you really look at it, no one's really caring about them anymore. But they're up there every day and every night boasting on with their big sets as more money gets pumped into them, as their networks try to keep the pulse going of these dying networks. But now they're starting to lash out and get ugly, and they're starting to show their true colors. And this is kind of what we want as the system gets kind of crazy. So as I always say, folks, buckle up. Buckle up. If you think it's weird now, wait till you see how weird this is going to get. The system is malfunctioning. I'm going to stick to that. I think it absolutely is. I don't think that all this is going to plan at all. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I'm watching this very carefully. I think that things are going to start malfunctioning because I think this is a spiritual war as well. And I think things aren't going to plan for this beast system. I think that things are starting to get muddled up. And so it's going to be very interesting times ahead indeed as we move forward. And there's always so much to break down and consider as well. So great chatting with you tonight, buddy. I'll get this up within the next 10 minutes or so for our listeners out there. And so you can share it as well on your end. And I hope our listeners out there enjoy the podcast. And we will be continuing here sort of towards around this time around with Jay around November, around sort of towards the end of the month. Usually get a lot of podcasts towards each month with my guests because they come on once a month and it kind of bottlenecks. But there's a lot next week coming up, a good 5 or 6 or 7, I don't know how many coming up, and then it kind of slows down a little bit. And but always so much to discuss. So great chatting with you tonight, buddy. We will plug out now, and we will chat again on the next one.
Yeah, thanks again, Adam. Thanks for all you do, and I'll talk to you again soon.
I'll put this through to you when it's up tonight, buddy. I'll put that on Skype and email it to you, and then I will contact you to discuss our next time.
Great.
For the podcast. Nice. Have a great day and keep doing your work, and I look forward to your next video. I will post it on the Kraz Files website as soon as it gets up.
Thanks, Adam. Take care, dude. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for all your effort, man.
Thank you. Cheers, bye.